Amen. Well, if you've got Bibles with you, as we were hearing this morning, whether you've got a hard copy or an electronic copy, and you want to turn with me to the book of Psalms, we're going to go to the shortest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. No, that's 117. That's just a couple of chapters earlier. The longest psalm, Psalm 119. Now, we've been looking at this psalm for a period of approximately 8 weeks. And just drawing lessons from it, seeing what it says. You know, I said right back at the beginning, and I've said it a few times since, that I like to call this psalm God's word on itself. What God says about his own word. And we haven't got time tonight to read it all, however much I would love to. And it's just 176 verses. It doesn't take long. But we are constrained by time here tonight, so we will skip the reading of it and just pick a few verses out. Now, over these last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been just bringing this series of teaching to a conclusion. And we had 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, God willing, whenever it was, we looked at the subject of walking in the Word of God. Walking in the Word of God. And we see that the psalmist, you know, he lived his life in accordance with the Word of God. Now, we don't know who the psalmist was. A lot of the psalms tell us that this is a psalm of David, or a psalm of Asaph, or a psalm of Solomon, or a psalm of the sons of Korah. The Bible doesn't give us any clue. In actual fact, this psalm is one of the psalms that has very little information about it. You know, if you look, if you've got a Bible, a study Bible, you might see some of the Psalms. It tells you that this is a song that David wrote, or this is a prayer that he prayed when in time of trouble or need, or he was praying for his country, he was praying for his people. And you see, we have those directions. Some of them have musical directions, that this was to be played on a certain instrument and in a certain way. And some of the Psalms, and me and my wife Jane, we've joked about it a couple of times recently, because we're reading through the Psalms as part of our daily readings and prayer time. That it says that this psalm should be sung to a tune. One of them was, I think, Tune of the Lilies or something like that. And we say, well, we don't know that tune, so how can we sing it? And that this psalm doesn't give us any indication at all. The fact that we call it the longest psalm is good enough, in my opinion. You know, it's known as the longest psalm. It's known as the alphabetical psalm. And I've said this again in previous weeks, and for the benefit of those that weren't with us, you know, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he refers to this psalm as the golden alphabet. And it truly is golden. You know, as you look into it and you dig into it and you see what it says, we find that this is a golden psalm. You know, in the psalmist, whoever he was or she that penned these words certainly lived and walked in the Word of God. And I haven't got time to recap on that, but God willing, in a little while, the whole series of teaching will be uploaded to the church website, so you can go to the church website and download the notes and the information that we have here. And then last week, we were looking at delighting ourselves in the Word of God, because we see the psalmist, he takes great pleasure in delighting in the Word of God, and he says that this is my delight. You know, this is that which I long for, I yearn for the Word of God. And right through the psalm, we see different references to his hunger for the Word of God, his desire for the Word of God. You know, he yearns for it, you know, like a like a man, a weary traveller on a very hot day who just longs for a cold drink of water to quench his thirst. You know, and the psalmist here, he directs his thoughts to God, how he loves the law, how he loves the statutes and the testimonies. And we too should delight and love God's word. You know, we were hearing a little bit this morning, and actually I thought Pastor was going to share very much what I'm going to share tonight. But even if he did, I would still have preached this same message. Because we need to hear this teaching. Because we're going to look tonight on a subject which was touched on this morning, and that is on, you know, how we can meditate on the Word of God. You know, because in this psalm, there's delights in it, he yearns for it, he longs to study, he longs to hear God speaking, and he fixes his eyes, he looks upon the Word. And we're going to just read a couple of verses to begin with. In verse 15, for example, we have here, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And then in verse 23, we see a similar a statement made here by the psalmist. He says, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. You know, if we are going to, and everything that we've covered in this whole subject, this whole topic, looking at this psalm, every lesson that we've drawn from this psalm, everything comes down, if we're going to experience all that we've looked at, it comes down to this one thing, that we must meditate on the scripture. We must consider it. We must not just look, meditation is more than just thinking about something. You know, the word that is used is the same, has the same idea as that which the cattle, when they regurgitate their food, what we call chewing the cud. You've heard that statement, the cattle. You know, when the cow or the lamb, the sheep, they graze on the grass, they take it down into their stomachs. You know, particularly the cow. Now, she has a particular ability to bring back what was in her stomach back into her mouth so she could chew on it again and then take it back down into her stomach. You know, and that is the same idea with meditation. We hear what God says and then we bring it back to our remembrance and think about it and concentrate on it, focus on it, pray over it, read it, and as we're going to go through and see tonight, there are many ways that we can meditate upon the Word. And really what the cow does is, in bringing back the grass that she's eaten, is she's getting more nutrients from it. She's getting like a second feed from the initial grazing. And that's how we are to be with the Word of God. You know, it says here in verse 11, we've read this again a few times over the last few weeks, but here the psalmist puts in verse 11, he puts it like this, he says, your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word, he says, I've hidden where? On the shelf? This is what Pastor was saying this morning. You know, is it on the shelf? Is it away where it's out of reach and it's forgotten? No, our word should be hidden. The word should be hidden in our hearts. You know what? Pastor Shen's one that God writes his word on the fleshly tables of our hearts. You know, that's where his word should be. On our, it must take root in our hearts. Because in our hearts is, our hearts are the good ground for any seed. And God's word is a seed. Now Jesus taught that parable, the parable of the sower. He says, the seed is the word of God. You know, and it's sowed sown into ground. Now, not all ground is good. There's good ground, there's rocky ground, there's thorny ground, there's the wayside in that parable. But if God's word is going to do what its purpose, what it was purposed to do and intended to do, it's got to take root in our hearts. You know, think about meditation, because that's what we're looking at tonight. Meditation on the word as an act of reading it, thinking about it, praying about it, memorizing it, discussing it with one another. Yes, of course, it's hearing as well, or even singing God's word. Now, there's a lot of Christians I've met that say perhaps that we shouldn't use that word meditation because it's been hijacked by the Eastern religions, and you know they tell us that when you meditate in the line of Eastern meditation, it's to empty your mind, clear your mind out so that there's nothing in there. But Christian meditation is the complete opposite. It's filling our mind with what God's word says. So we don't, it's not emptying our mind so that we can receive any, it's filling our mind with what God says. And that's meditating, thinking about it, you know, pondering it, focusing on it, praying about it, discussing it. There's a scripture. Whether we get through all the scriptures tonight, we'll see how we do. But let's go to, keep a bookmark or a thing in Psalm 119, because we're coming back. There's a verse in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 16. Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what that's saying is, let God's word dwell and remain in your heart. Let it saturate your soul. You know, let it affect your daily life. Let it change everything about you. Jesus said this, you'll know this, you'll know this scripture in John 15, but I want to read it to you from the Amplified Translation. Because it says this, in John 15 verse 7, it says, "If you live in me," these are the words of Jesus, "if you live in me or abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you." Did you hear those words? If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Allow God's word to remain in you and continue in you. That's having it in our heart. When we live in the word of God, we're walking in the word of God, we're delighting in the word of God, we meditate on the word of God. You know, meditation, let's put it like this, communion with God through his word, because that's what it is when we meditate on what God says. It's not just a fleeting glance at the scripture. Abiding in it, living in it, means that we put it in our heart. Like the psalmist here says, you know, "I have hidden," or "your word I have hidden in my heart." I like to think that the writer of the psalm is actually David. Because of some of the things he says. And you see here, particularly at the beginning of the psalm, he talks about a young man. And then as he goes through, as the psalmist goes through, and towards the end of the psalm, he's talking about how the word has helped him through his latter years. And, you know, I just love David. And, you know, I very often think about David. You know, what was he doing? The Bible's not always doesn't always give us the answers to some of our questions, but what was this boy doing while he was looking after his father's sheep? Now, we know David was a skillful musician, and I'm sure he was penning quite a lot of the Psalms in those days. that he was meditating on the Word of God. You know how? He had that accolade given to him by God himself, that this was a man after his own heart. A man in whom the Word was living. Dare I say this without getting... I'm going to say it. This was a man who God says his heart was like him. Do you know what that means? I draw from that that David thought the same way that God thought. He was in tune with God. He was along on the same wavelength as God. Why? Because the Word was hidden in his heart. He had God's Word abiding in him, continuing in him. You know, he memorized it. He meditated upon it. Now, when I say memorize, you know, Eddie, I don't know how many of you ever tried to teach a bird to talk. My great-grandmother, she used to have a budgerigar. And she would sit there day after day, hour after hour, talking to this bird, trying to get this bird to speak. And eventually, after a long time, well, my grandmother used to say, because after my great-grandmother died, the budgie came to live with my grandmother. And she said that she was sure that this bird was saying something. My grandmother taught it. And actually, I heard the bird say this myself, so I know it did learn to speak. My grandmother said that this bird said, "Praise the Luya." Because it heard my grandmother say every day, "Praise the Lord" or "Hallelujah." And it just got the two words, the two phrases joined together. Praise the Luya. But any parrot or any budgerigar can memorize something and mimic something like that. Every addict will know some verses of scripture. Did you know that the devil himself knows the scripture?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He used it to quote it to Jesus. But what's the difference with a parrot or a bird or an addict or even the devil? It's not in the heart. It's in the head. It's been memorized. Do you know, years ago, I grew up when I was about 9 years old. My father was one of the first people, certainly was the first one of the first people in our family, our extended family I'm talking about, to have a computer in the house. Now, when I was nine, so that would be around 1976, something like that, 75, 76. We had a computer in the house. Now, this computer was a massive thing. It had a great big television screen which sat on a great big box. If any of you are into computers, you know this was an old Commodore, one of the early Commodores. This computer, the entire memory of this computer was, and it's mind-boggling when you think about it, but the entire memory of this computer was what we call 8 kilobytes. 8K, an 8K computer. You know, you can't even write a letter in something like Microsoft Word today less than 8K. You know, it was such a big thing with such a small memory. And what you put on the screen in those days, if you wanted to keep it, you had to hit the enter button. And it took I don't know quite how it worked, but I'm not techno-minded like that, but it took what was on the screen and put it into the memory. And it's the same with God's Word. You know, what we hear, we need to hit, let me bring it up to something that you know and appreciate today. You've got to hit save for it to get into the heart. You've got to hit or save as. You know, you've got to do something like that to get it into your heart. It's not just hearing it, letting it come in this ear, and do a little twizzle around inside your brain and then shoot off out this side. It's got to go meditation, thinking about it, pondering it. But let's see what God's word says, Psalm 119. Because I'm talking and my time is running out. Okay, Psalm 119 teaches us about meditation on the Word of God. Let's go to verse 23. We've already read this verse, but let's read it again. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. While others are plotting against you, and there are many of those that do that, you know, saying things about us, trying to get us, you know, to stumble and fall. While people plot against us, we should be like the psalmist and meditate on the Word of God. Allow God's Word to fill our hearts rather than their schemes and their plans and their plots and the things that they say. It goes on in the next few verses from verse 25. I'm not going to read it, but that whole stanza there from 25 to 32. If you want to read it, please do so when you're back in your home or your hotel. When we are down, and we all get down from time to time, you know, we all have bad days. We all get out of the bed on the wrong side sometimes. Very often, sometimes, do you know, it's but we can wake up and not even feel that we're saved. Do you know that? Or we could start the day great and then something will happen before we've even got into the bathroom. Something will happen and the day will just seem to go downhill from there. But when we're down, you know, we get up and we get going. How? By meditating on the Word of God. You know, I was reminded in the week by my niece. Where are we now? It's the 25th, 26th, is it? Can't see my watch. 26. 4 days ago, 22nd, and it slipped my memory until my niece reminded me. I'll see her post on Facebook that it was the anniversary of my mother going to be with the Lord. 9 years, and I remember that day very vividly when we were around the hospital bed with her, and you know she went home to be with Jesus. You know, we that next day or that whole day, she went in the early hours of the morning. So that whole day we spent as a family together, you know, my father and the five of us children sitting around his house just talking about how much Mum meant to each and every one of us. And I remember getting home that day, you know, none of us had slept that night. And I was physically drained. I was, as you can expect, you know, having just been in the hospital where my mum went home to be. Now we knew she'd gone to a better place, and we knew that one day we're gonna see her again. But it still leaves you feeling down, and you grieve. And I remember going home, and I don't even think I said much to Jane. But I went home. I laid down on the bed, and next to my bed, actually at that time, there was a Bible. And I picked up the Bible, and I have Bibles all over the house. You know? So if I'm in the bedroom, there's a Bible. If I'm at the dining table, there's a Bible. But I picked up this Bible that was beside my bed and just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to read. I wanted God just to minister to me, and I just opened any page. Now, I don't do that as a habit. But I just opened any page and began reading a scripture in the second book of Corinthians. You know, and as I read just two or three verses, that's all I could manage. To be honest, I didn't really feel like reading. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like doing any of the things that, as a good pastor or teacher, that you should do, and we encourage other people to do. I didn't feel, and that's honest, I didn't feel like it. But I did it anyway. I read the Word. In just those two verses that I read, you know, God just began to minister life into my spirit. you know, and just begin to deal with me. You know, when we're down, the best thing we can do is meditate on the Word of God. Because it will bring life and it will lift us. Verses 47 and 48, it says, we can delight in God through meditation. The psalmist says, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97 tells us, and I'm going quickly, he says, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Now we can meditate on God's word all the day. Even while we're working, we can still be thinking about what God says, what his word has spoken into our spirits. Some of my best moments ever, and I shouldn't say this as a person who's in ministry and a person who has been pastor of a church, but do you know some of my best moments I've had with the Lord haven't been in church. They've been when I've been on my own driving my car. You know, I've just meditated on the words that I've read or listened to on a CD or a cassette tape. You know, as you're driving, you're listening, and you hear the Word of God say something, you stop the tape, just think about that. You know, God has just filled the car, filled the vehicle that I've been in. And that's done me more good. Now, I'm not saying that we should come to church. You know, we need to come to church to grow, but those times have done me more good than perhaps sitting through whole sermons, listening to people preach and share things. Why? Because God speaks directly to our hearts when we meditate upon Him, upon His Word. We can grow in understanding beyond even our years. Even the youngest of Christians can have great insight and wisdom when they meditate on the Word of God. Verse 99 tells us that. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For your testimonies are my meditation. We see the psalmist in 148, he says that he rises early to meditate on the Word of God. He says, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your Word. So why don't people meditate on the Word of God? Let me just go through, and I'll have to go through quickly. The first one, why don't people meditate? And I want to finish this tonight by giving you some practical examples as well. Number one, people don't meditate on the Word of God because of pride. They think they don't need it. I've been a Christian a long time. I know what the Scripture says. I know this, I know that, and I don't need the Word of God. I've got a friend who's he's been in prison for preaching. He was arrested, not in the UK, but in some far eastern country. He was arrested, and he was put in prison, and they took everything away from him. Everything. He wasn't allowed anything. And he wasn't even allowed his Bible. A little bit like Pastor was sharing this morning. But Pastor shared, he got his Bible back. But they wouldn't let him have anything. And he was in prison for a few days. But he said that he because he meditated on the Word of God day after day, it was in his heart. And those few days, he said, he just recalled and recited and rehearsed everything that was in his heart. You know, and he just pondered on that again. You know, course we need the Word of God. We must meditate. It doesn't matter whether we haven't got a hard copy of it. If it's in our hearts, hidden in our hearts, we can recall it. We can go over it. You know, God looks favorably on the one who reverences his Word. Isaiah tells us that. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Okay, I'll give you the scripture, but you can look it up. I'm not going to turn there now. There's a scripture I really love to preach on in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2 verse 13. Where God says that his people had committed two evils. They'd forsaken him. That was the first one. The fountain of living waters. And then the second one, he says, as if that wasn't bad enough, they were now drinking from broken cisterns. Cisterns that didn't have any sustenance. There was no supply in those cisterns. You know, there's a well-known missionary of years gone by, Amy Carmichael, maybe you've heard of her. You know, she was writing in one of her books that she wrote, and she was talking about other things, good things. Her reference when she was writing this was about Christian books. But she said that we should drink from the well, not from the streams that flow from the well. Drink from the well. Drink from the Word. The source. You know, there's so many other things that will try and take us away from the Word of God. And if we start drinking from those, we find we're soon drinking from streams or cisterns that actually haven't got any water or sustenance. Go to the well. To the well. Then the second reason why people don't meditate on the Word. Why? Because there's some sort of misguided fear about it. Not that they frightened, but they don't think they can understand it. Or they think that it's only meant for the clergy. Or the priests or the pastors. Look what the psalmist says here in 130. Again, we read this last week, but it says here, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. God's word gives understanding to the simple. Anyone, if we meditate on the Word of God, can receive from God. We don't need, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but we don't need any man to tell us this is what God says. Why? Because when we meditate, the Holy Spirit himself brings illumination and light. He's our teacher. He's the one that shows us from his word. You know, just consider this, Rick. This is a little bit sidetracking. The book of Romans, which is one of Paul's well-known letters. Did you know this book of Romans was not written to theologians? I was talking to a Maltese man, a Gossington man, a little while ago, and he was telling me, "Oh, we can't understand the works of the Apostle Paul. You know, it's so complex." And I'm sitting there talking, and I'm thinking, I was going to ask him how many of the Apostle Paul's writings have you actually read? You know, we can't understand them. But Romans wasn't written to theologians; it was written to lay people. It was written to people like you and me. It was, you know, Paul, when he was writing that book or that letter, he expected farmers to understand the things he was saying. He expected the blacksmiths, the tent makers, those that were market traders, mothers. He expected every other type of Christian. He expected them to understand the things contained in his letter. And God's people can understand God's word if they approach it with a heart of humility. And come before God and seek him to obey it, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Then the third reason why people don't meditate on the word, and I think this is a sad one because I've never ever found it like this. But they think that the Bible is just boring. It's an old book filled with stories and illustrations. And there's no joy in reading the Word of God. So there's going to be no meditation of it. I make no apologies for saying what I'm about to say, and I'm saying it in love, so you'll have to forgive me if you get offended, please. But if that's the way you look at the Bible, this, as we saw last week, you know, this book is alive. Karen, you shared with us your scripture on Wednesday night. We had it quoted this morning. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, God's Word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful. That word there in the Greek is energeis, which means energetic. There's something about the Word of God. How can we find it boring? You know, we should have a love for the Word of God. You know, as we're reading the scriptures, you know, look for the gospel, look for the good news in what you're reading. You know, the Bible says this in Peter. It says that even the angels long and desire to look into these things, but they're not allowed to. They can't. But we have this great privilege of having God's Word. We can read it. We can meditate upon it. How many times, and this amazes me, and I hear people saying, well, I just can't get into the Bible, you know, I can't get into the Word of God. But those same people, they will spend hour after hour, they will watch something on the television, they will watch a movie, they will read a newspaper, they will read something else, they'll have magazines, books, they'll read things that, books on quantum physics. But get into the Bible. No way. You know, God's Word is fresh. I said it again a few weeks ago. You know, God's Word is more up to date than what you will find on the newsstands tomorrow morning. Of course, another reason why people don't meditate on the Word of God, and again, this was touched on this morning, is busyness. I'm too busy to pick up the Word of God. You know, part of the exercise of meditating on Scripture is to make time. We've got to make time. We must plan to spend unhurried and unhindered time with God. We don't just accidentally become a student of the Scriptures. We've got to be like Mary. You remember that's counting the scriptures in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, where Martha was busy, busy, busy. Doing this, doing that, preparing. What was Mary doing? She was spending unhurried, unhindered time sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's how we need to be. And Jesus said that was the best. She'd chosen the best. There's a cartoon. I'll tell you the surgery. And he was obviously telling the doctor all these problems, and the doctor was listening to him and suggesting that he do this, he eat healthy, he do exercise. You know, and this man, he says to the doctor, I'm too busy to exercise. I can't do that. And the caption on this cartoon said this. The reply of the doctor, he says, whatever fits within your busy schedule, you should do. Either exercise 1 hour a day or be dead for 24 hours a day. Exercise 1 hour a day or be dead for 24 hours a day. You know, and that's how a lot of Christians are. You know, they don't have time for the Word of God. But we've got to make time. Just Again, as Pastor has been sharing over the last few weeks, even if it's just 5 minutes, make the time. Spend the time in the Word of God. You know, Martin Luther, the reformist, he once said this. He said he has so much business that he cannot get on with it unless he spends 3 hours daily meditating and praying. He was too busy. He couldn't get on with his work unless he spent it because of the busyness that he had. So we can make time. Even the busiest people can make time to meditate the Word of God.
The busiest people can make time to do more things. It's true.
Because that brings us on to another point. People say they're too busy, but a lot of the time what they actually mean is they're too lazy. We fail in our duty to study God's Word. Not so much because it's difficult to understand, or because we haven't got the time to do it, or because it's dull and boring, it's because we just can't be bothered. We look at it like work, and we don't want to do work. Now we've just said, we've got to make time for meditating God's Word. And that requires a lot of effort on our part. And the last one I want to look at tonight, now, the last reason why we don't meditate God's Word is unbelief. Not that we don't believe God's Word, but we don't believe in its value to us. You know, if we don't believe it's valuable to us, it will keep us from God's Word. It's just reading through what this psalmist says here. As we go through, we see scripture after scripture, and we've already looked at them in previous weeks. But he says that the statutes are more value to him than gold or silver. Is it more valuable to you than gold? Is it more value to you than earning your weekly wage? Do you know that faith comes by hearing it? Do you really believe that joy is derived by understanding it? What about, do you believe that God transforms us through it when we read it? And that we desperately need the Word of God to live for Him. Now, just as I wrap this up tonight, let's just be honest, we're not all at the same level. Some of us find it very difficult to read. You know, before coming to Malta here, I was pastoring in a church where a lot of the people couldn't read. They didn't know how to read and write. And so sometimes when we're talking with them, we have to come up with creative ways to get them to understand the Word of God. And here's some things that I don't do all of these, but let me give you some things that I do. When we meditate on the Word of God, as we said at the beginning, think of it as an act of reading, or thinking upon it, praying over it, memorizing it, discussing it, hearing it, singing it. You know, when I read the scriptures, you know what I often do? I put myself right in the scene. I read it. Let me go back to that account I told you about Mary and Martha. You know, when I read that scripture, I want to get something from it. And I, in my imagination, my mind, I see myself sitting in that circle of people, listening to what Jesus is saying. I can see Mary sitting there. I can see out of the corner of my eye, Martha, busy running around doing things. I can hear the words, and I hear what Jesus is saying. Now, we don't know what Jesus taught them on that day, but, you know, that's where, when you meditate upon the Word of God, you know, God just ministers to you. And that's just one. I see myself walking the streets of Capernaum with Jesus. I'm there at the side when he's cursing the fig tree and telling that fig tree that no fruit is ever going to grow on you again. You know, that's one way how I meditate upon the Word of God. Put myself right into the scene. And it brings the Bible alive. Other ways we can put God's Word in our heart, or to memorize it. Because, again, I'll go back to what Pastor said this morning. Now, none of us are getting younger. Every day we're a day older. And my memory today isn't as good as it was a few years ago. And it wasn't that great a few years ago.
Yeah.
if we've got a failing memory or we've never been good at remembering things, how can we put God's word in our hearts? Well, we can write it. Do you know, whenever I write something down, I remember it far easier than I do when I read it. And that's the case. That's why when you grew up in, you came up through school, they got you to write down, write it. And that's why as teachers we get students to write it down. Why? Because when you write it, it goes in and it stays. Why? Because you remember spelling it wrong last time, so you're not going to spell it wrong this time. You remember the big red cross you got in your book, and you're not going to get another one. Write it. If you're creative, draw it. Draw what God says in His Word. If that helps you remember. My uncle was a great artist. And I remember he drew a picture one day, and he had it hanging on his bedroom wall, because I stayed in his bedroom when I stayed with my grandmother once. And there was pictures of something, and be like the psalmist, and I do this again quite frequently, being the way I am. Put it to music. Sing it. Doesn't have to be a melodic tune, but if you can sing it, you will remember the words. I can remember scriptures, and very often I remember scriptures by singing them. Thinking, oh, I wrote a song of that like that, and it comes back to me. Stick the verse on your fridge, so there you see it every day as you open the door. Be creative. If you need to make a game with it, no, I'm not saying belittle the Word of God, but if you need to do it like a puzzle, you know, does this word go here and that word goes... Do whatever you need to do to get into God's Word and memorize it and learn it and meditate upon it. Find a suitable place to go. Somewhere quiet. I used to like the beach. But it's not crowded. I used to work, I used to drive around the UK as part of work. And I used to look forward to the days when my work took me to the coast. Because I knew early evening there was no holidaymakers on the beach. And I used to go down to the beach and sit and just watch the waves come in. Sometimes even in the dark, watching the waves come in. Just thinking about God, praying about the word that I've read. There might be a riverside, the countryside, might be a favourite place that you can go. But I will give you one tip in closing. Whatever you do, when you're meditating upon the Word of God, switch off your phone. Because you need, you don't need to be distracted. Switch off your phone. You don't need to be contacted. You're having quality time with God in communion. So, brothers and sisters, be blessed. As we meditate on the Word of God, that God will lead us and guide us and reveal to us all that we need. His Word gives understanding to the simple. His Word is a light to our path. A lamp to our path. You know the scripture. In verse 105. It lights the way we should go. We need the Word of God. So I trust you've been blessed over these last few weeks as we've gone through this psalm. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen.